Turning to the same passage I read from this morning, 2 Timothy 3 and 16. Thinking of our studying the Word of God, the importance of studying the Word. In the 16th verse of the 3rd chapter of 2 Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's one word that stands out in my thinking this evening to which I call your attention. That's the first word of that 16th verse. All. All Scripture. Many of us feel like the grammarian studying the Greek text of the New Testament, as he came to the end of his career, his prayer was one of lament. He set out to study the whole of the New Testament. And at the end of his life, he was regretting that he had not limited his studies to one particular book in the Bible, that he might to more thoroughly understand it and thereby explain and proclaim it. Having studied the one book, his lament was that he had spent so much time on the whole book, and he wished he had devoted more time to one chapter. Having done that, his lament was that he had devoted too much time to one chapter. He wished he had restricted his studies to one verse. And then, considering the length of time he'd spent upon the one verse, his last lament was that he had spent so much time on that one verse when he should have devoted all of his time to one word. And sometimes we feel that the Bible is so comprehensive and so expansive that we can't, and sometimes we find ourselves devoted to one book or to one chapter. But the Spirit of the Lord through the Apostle Paul says that all Scripture not only is given by inspiration of God, but that all Scripture is profitable or beneficial. And I want us to look at a few kindred passages which emphasize the necessity of feeding on the whole book, all of the Word of God. I'm turning now to the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, a passage muchly mooted, kicked about some circles, untouched in other circles. In this 6th chapter, I'm turning to verse 48. I'm going to read a few of these verses. I am that bread of life. This is our Lord speaking. And He calls himself the bread of life. At times I have been ridiculed because of the attention I pay to types. And I'm told by several that there's no foundation or basis whatever for typical teaching or the teaching pertaining to types. Here our Lord says, I am that bread of life, and he calls himself the bread of life. And we have that bread as a type of Christ. Now let's read on. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Rome gets dreadfully confused and purportedly eats the flesh of the Lord and drinks the blood of the Lord. The last I heard, the teaching of Rome was that the moment the wafer touches the lips or the tongue of the communicant, so-called, it becomes the actual flesh of the Lord. That's the sacrament. And when the priest drinks of the wine, when it touches his lips, it becomes the actual blood of the Lord. I have in my possession a book that was banned by the United States government and was taken off of the bookshelves and destroyed so far as they could recover them. This was given to me by a Treasury agent of the United States. In this book, showed caricatures distributed and publicized all over Russia of the Christian religion. It had to do with eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Lord. One of the caricatures showed a cross with the man hanging on the cross, purportedly Jesus, and from his open side, large stream of blood flowing, and people gathered all around there with buckets catching the blood, many of them drinking, and showed others climbing up to the cross, taking great bites out of his flesh, of his limbs, both lower limbs and upper limbs. You've got to realize that the eating of human flesh, the eating and drinking of blood is forbidden by God. You've got to appreciate the fact that the body of our Lord is at the right hand of God the Father, and I believe his blood is on the holy place, the mercy seat and the holy place in the heavens, and not available to man as such. So, the cardinal rule of interpretation, where the plain sense of the Scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. Now, this 53rd verse, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now, in the eating and the drinking of the flesh and the blood of the Lord, I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, the temptations of our Lord, reading from verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward an hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now we learn there that physical bread, bread made with leaven or without leaven, made out of the flour, the wheat, or the meal of the corn, is not sufficient. Man is to live on the Word of God, not only on the Word of God, but by every word. I mentioned that in connection with the first word to which I called your attention, the word all. All Scripture is profitable or beneficial. Hear every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. Now, the Lord's last commandment, so far as I remember, to Peter was to feed my sheep. Peter, in his epistle, calls attention to the fact that the primary command and commission of the elders, of the pastors, of the church, was to preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Feed my sheep, says the Lord. Peter says, preach the word. Feeding the sheep and preaching the word are the one and the same thing. Now, in the first verse of the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word. The Word. The Word is a thought concept. In the beginning was that. And the Word was with God, and God was the Word. We have the living word. We have the preaching word. We have the written word. Words of God, upon which the people of God are to feed. Now, one eats not the literal flesh of our Lord, nor does one drink the literal blood of our Lord. We feed on the Lord by feeding on His Word. This written Word is related to the Lord Jesus Christ as no other written Word is related to its author. This is the very expression of the Word of God Himself. Now, I want us to go back into the Old Testament and pick up a lesson of feeding on the Word of God, who is the Lamb of God. I go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. For feeding on the Lamb of God. With your indulgence, I'm going to read from the first verse of the 12th chapter of Exodus. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Remember now that Jesus Christ pointed out by John the Baptist as the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Your lamb shall be without blemish, the impeccability of the Lord Jesus Christ. A male of the first year, a male in the prime of his life. The Lord Jesus Christ at the age of 30 to 33 and a half in the very prime of his life. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. He was taken out from among mankind, being born of the Virgin Mary. He shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, from the 10th day till the 14th day. Plenty of opportunity for any blemish that might be found in the blood to manifest itself by a spot visible on the outside. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take the blood, strike it on the two side posts and the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Notice the command to eat the lamb slain, the blood caught, the blood applied to the doorpost and the lintel. The Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. We are to appropriate his death through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Having been saved, having come under the blood, now they are to feast on the Lamb. We are to feed on the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We do that by feeding upon the Word of God. Now let's look at the instructions given in the 8th verse. They shall eat the flesh in that night. When we're saved, we're supposed to begin to feed on the Lamb of God, to feed on the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Just as the man is supplied every vitamin, every chemical, every essential for human sustenance, physically speaking, so does the Word of God provide everything necessary for spiritual growth and development and sustenance. Now, eat it, roast with fire. The fire symbolizing the judgment of God upon it. Feed on the Lamb of God that has been judged for our sins. You don't mix it with anything. Comes in direct contact with the fire or the embers and is roasted. Not boiled, not stewed, not fried. Eat it with unleavened bread. Unconfessed sin is a barrier to understanding the Word of God. And many people do not read the Word of God because of a conscious realization that sooner or later this Word will convict them of their sins. They must stop reading it or confess their sins. Unleavened bread. herbs shall they eat it. The bitter herbs were a reminder of the bitter life they lived under the dominion of sin and the relief that comes. Now, eat not of it raw, sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. Now, comes a description of different portions of the body of the lamb that they were to eat, and you'll notice here the command is for them to eat all of it. All right. Eat his head, number one. Within the head was the brain and the wisdom of God is to be found in this book. The wisdom of God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth freely and upbraideth not, for it will open this book to him. We're living in strange days. We're living in days in which there are all kinds of great movements literally sweeping the world by television, radio, and personal messengers as they go all over the world. They're not nearly as interested in the Word of God as they are in experiences. Let me tell you what happened to me, they said. The Lord came to me, and he took me by the hand, and he led me here. And I had a dream, and I had a vision, but not the Word of God. The wisdom of God comes from the Word of God. Two phrases being bandied about by some of these internationally famous individuals. The word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. I heard one say the word of knowledge came to me, and it was made known to me that certain things were going to take place on the stock exchange, and I told people what to do, and they made a killing on the stock exchange. I don't think God bandies words like that. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge had their place in the economy of God before the completion of the Word of God. But they have no place now outside of the Word of God. The Word of wisdom is here. You get it by reading it, and the Word of knowledge is here, and you get it by reading the Word of God and studying. Now, eat the head of the Lamb, and you get the wisdom of God. Now, he says, eat the legs. It's with the legs that mobility comes to the Lamb. It's with the legs that he walks. And Scripture makes much of correspondence between the foot and the mouth, between the walk and the talk. Now, eat the legs of the Lamb that you might walk like the Lamb with his help and with his aid, as far as that's possible. Now, you eat the legs. The clean animals were designated by correspondence between the mouth and the hoof. The chewing of the cud and the cloven hoof. Otherwise, the animal was unclean. One chewing the cud, but not having a cloven hoof, was unclean. One having cloven hoof, but not chewing the cud, was unclean. Correspondence between the walk and the talk. Now, eat the legs. And with the pertinence thereof. The pertinence. The vital organs. The abdomen. The seat of love. The Bible speaks of the bowels of compassion. Now, eat the pertinence, and there you have the love of God in your heart. The world is right in singing its classic song. What the world needs most is love, sweet love, but the world has no concept of the meaning of love. The only love that is of value here is that which comes from heaven, comes from God. And it's the possession of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and only those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, ye shall let nothing of it remain until morning.
Now you eat it all. You eat all of the lamb. All scripture given by inspiration. All scripture is beneficial. All scripture is profitable. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So there is to be a feeding on this whole word of God. Now, let's read on. That which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn the fire. Don't leave any of it around. Any that is not used, that is not eaten, that is not consumed, burn it with fire. Bring the judgment of God upon it. If you're not going to read and study certain books in this Bible, take them out of it, destroy them. Don't keep them. The whole Word, the Old Testament to New Testament. Years ago, one from China. I think sometimes it was Chinese Gordon, but I'm not sure, so I'll not be dogmatic about that, but devised a scheme of Bible study and reading that has been very profitable to many people. In 1949, I spoke at the meeting in Toccoa, Georgia, where they had that awful flood some time back. I spoke there at a joint meeting of Christian Businessmen's Fellowship. Not the full gospel group, but the single gospel group, the only gospel group, and the Billy Sunday Club. And it was at this meeting that those two organizations joined together. And sometime during that series of meetings, I spoke along this line, and I gave this plan of Bible study and reading, which I attribute to Chinese Gordon, but it might not have been his. Last year I got a letter from a very prominent businessman in Pennsylvania, very prominent in insurance. Multi-millionaire. He was asking some things about Norman. And he said, I still remember and I still practice the method of Bible reading you outlined in 49 at Toccoa, Georgia. That plan was for daily Bible reading. Every day, read 2 chapters in the Old Testament, 2 chapters in the New Testament, 5 Psalms, and 1 chapter in Proverbs. Two in the Old, 2 in the New, 1 in Proverbs, 5 in Psalms. That way, you'd read the book of Proverbs through every month, read the Psalms through every month, read the New Testament through 2 or 3 times a year, and the Old Testament once a year. That's been used by many individuals. That covers the whole book of God, to read it. And as you read, you'll be surprised how the Lord will speak to you out of this or that. But to just read it. 10 chapters a day. That seems like a whole lot to some people who get up early and read a verse and say, I've read my Bible today, and then out they go and that's it. The Apostle Paul says, Matthew concurs. The Lord concurs. The Holy Spirit does. So does Moses. All Scripture. If you prefer, every Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable or beneficial for reproof, for correction, for discipline, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished under all and every good work. The Lord said, Matthew 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And then in the command, the institution of the Passover, to eat of the lamb, the command is to eat all of it. Eat all of it. The genealogical tables, the historical portions, prophetic, the poems, the books of wisdom, books of history, the books of prophecy. Read it all, and let nothing of it remain till morning. I wanted to give you that thought, that as we turn to the study of the Word of God, special attention directed to the book of Revelation, the book of Romans, that we neglect not the rest of it, but we feed upon all of it. And now may the grace of God our Father and the love of Jesus Christ our Lord, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon each and every one of His children present, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.